It's good to be here. It's good to just share God's word. I'm so thankful for those that are here. I'm so thankful for those that were here last week also celebrating. If you have a Bible, one more time. Psalms 23. An incredible psalm, isn't it? Father, I thank you so much for this awesome privilege that we have to share the truth of your word. And I do pray, God, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart will be pleasing to you and to you alone, my Lord and my God. Help me, God, to share this truth in such a way that we will all see what the Holy Spirit is trying to teach us through this incredible psalm. Bless the hearing of it to our ears and our spirits, and conform us into the image of your Son even more today. And we just give you thanks and praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. In case you didn't know it, David wrote the 23rd Psalm. I'm going to give you a lot of information like that today. It is, in fact, the most famous of all psalms. And as you know, a psalm is a song. That's what it is. And this song has topped the charts for over 2,500 years. It has. It's the best known psalm. It's the best loved psalm. It is the most quoted psalm. And today's message, we're going to focus on the final words of this amazing song. And perhaps no verse in this psalm is more loved than the last verse. As David talks about his final destination. Because really, that's what we're going to talk about today. His final destination. You know, if you ever fly commercially, go to the airport and fly commercially, you will likely be asked by someone along the way, what's your final destination? If you really want to mess things up or want to shake them up a little bit, tell them, heaven. Wouldn't that be great? What's your final destination? It's heaven. You know, and when you say that, you know, sometimes they'll say something like back to you, well, I can't check your bags there. And a great response to that would be, that's okay, they won't make it anyway. Because they won't. But the truth of the matter is, we have a final destination. And that destination is eternity. It's eternity. You notice the last word of this psalm? It's the word forever. Forever. Now, I don't know what you can put before your forever, but understand that your final destination is going to be somewhere forever. Forever. It's going to be eternity. And that's a long time. That's a long, long time. Just to give you some faint idea of something you really can't even calculate, let me just ask you a question. Follow me with this. How long is a million years? Well, a million is a thousand thousands. How long is a billion years? A billion is a thousand million. How long is a trillion years? Trillion is a thousand billion. How long is a quadrillion years? A quadrillion is a thousand trillion. How long is a quintillion years? A quintillion is a thousand quadrillions. And you say to yourself, that is incomprehensible. Well, so is eternity. So is eternity. Because even after a quadrillion of years has gone by, eternity will have just gotten started. Isn't that amazing? You can't comprehend eternity. God wants your final destination to be heaven. I'm going to say that again. God wants your final destination to be heaven. I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him that. Tell them that. God wants your final destination to be heaven. All right? When you come out of the valley of the shadow of death that we talked about, I want you to be in the house of the Lord. I want you to come out of the valley of death into the house of the Lord. Because listen, life is a journey that is simply preparing you for your final destination. I'm going to put that on the sign out there. Life is a journey that is simply preparing you for your final destination. And as we close this study of the 23rd Psalm, thinking about our final destination and the journey that it takes to get there, there are three wonderfully encouraging truths that ought to give all of us who know the Lord, give us victory over worrying, depression, and anxiety as we face the future. God wants to give us that victory, and he has. We're going to see it in this closing verse. Let's look at it together. Number one, God's goodness is watching over us. God's goodness is watching over us. We're told that goodness follows us all the days of our life. Look at verse 6. Very familiar. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's goodness comes behind us all of the time. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that happens to you will be good, but it does mean that God will use everything that happens to you for your good. No matter what bad or evil comes our way, if the Lord is our shepherd, goodness will come out of whatever happens. You see, this simply tells us in Old Testament language what Romans 8:28 tells us in New Testament language, which says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good, or are working together for the good of those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Okay? Remember, this is a shepherd's song. This is a psalm of how a shepherd leads his sheep. And now we've learned that the shepherd in this psalm is the Savior in the Gospels. We've learned that the shepherd that David is talking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus is no ordinary shepherd. He said in John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The very interesting verse in the book of Acts that tells us something about the earthly life of Jesus. In Acts 10:38, it says this, Jesus of Nazareth went about doing good. You want to know what Jesus did for the 33 years that he lived on the earth? He went about doing good. And guess what? What he did then, he's doing now. What he did then, going about doing good, he's doing it now. The good shepherd is still doing well for his sheep. Still today. So I want you to think about something concerning goodness. Nothing good ever comes except from God. How do I know that? Because James chapter 1, verse 7 tells me, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Okay? Furthermore, nothing except good ever comes from God, because Psalm 52 and verse 1 tells me the goodness of God endures continually. Continually. See, in one sense, God is good to everybody, because the psalmist said in Psalm 145, verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Okay? Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, he says this, he makes his sun, S-U-N, to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Okay? You can't go anywhere in this world where you can't find some evidence of the goodness of God. Can't go anywhere. Psalm 33 verse 5 says this, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. The earth is full of it. The goodness of God over everywhere. Let me give you one example. How many are terrified sometime when you see lightning? You see that little crack coming down the sky, right? Well, and with good reason, we should be, because, you know, did you know that you can see the goodness of God even in a flash of lightning? I didn't know this. When I read this, I said, I got to write this down. Follow me with this. You see, we need nitrogen in our bodies. And although the atmosphere is full of it, we cannot absorb it through our lungs. So God sends an electrical charge to separate nitrogen from the atmosphere, and the rain brings it down to the earth. Now watch this. After that happens, little bacteria transforms that nitrate into nitrite. And in this form, a plant can absorb it, and then we either eat the plant or eat the animal that ate the plant, and when we do, we receive nitrogen. What we need to survive. And God supplied it. And that just blew me away. I'm not good in science. I never was. But when I read that, I said, that is so cool. God knows we need nitrogen. How do we get it? Well, I'll flash some lightning. I'll change the nitrate into nitrite. And then when the animals eat the plant, and we'll eat the plant, we'll eat our vegetables, and we'll get the nitrogen that we need. So the next time you see a flash of lightning, thank God for his goodness. Okay? All right. You don't have to be afraid anymore. See, our problem is, we take the goodness of God for granted so often that we don't even realize just how good God is and how we benefit from the goodness of God every single day. We do. I heard about a dad who was getting fed up with the materialism in his house and how his kids were so spoiled. So he decided to sit them down for one of those fatherly talks. They were just young children. And he says this, he says, kids, you don't realize how good you have it. When I was a boy, I had to get up before daybreak and go deliver papers. Anybody deliver the Courier Express? Come on, seriously, did you really deliver? I did too. Did you, Tone? Courier Express before daybreak. I did. I had to walk to school in the rain, in the snow, had to walk both ways uphill. Right? There you go. How many did that? Come on. Be honest. I even had to work at the grocery store after school. I did. Did you see? I'm in the right crowd. Oh, yeah. Well, when this dad was telling this to these kids' eyeballs got as big as coconuts. And they were in awe of what their dad was telling them. Their dad felt pretty good that his message had gotten through to them. Yes. Until his 5-year-old little boy said, gee, Dad, I'll bet you're glad you live with us now. Aren't you glad that God, that at every day God is good? He is just so good. Amen. Number two, God's grace is working in me. God's grace is working in me. We're told that not only goodness follows us, but also mercy follows us. Look what it says again, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, mercy is just like, mercy is the flip side of grace, okay? In fact, it's the result of grace. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 10 says this, I will have mercy on you through my grace. That's what God said. Now, I want you to notice that both goodness and mercy, we are told, follow us. The Hebrew word follow means to pursue. It pursues. What this really says is God's goodness and God's mercy pursues us, runs after us, stays right on our heels. When? All the days of my life. It pursues us. It runs after us. Remember, this is a shepherd's song. And shepherds do not drive sheep. They lead sheep. Sheep are led from the front so that the shepherd will always be out in front. But what the shepherd will always have with him would be sheepdogs, right? Usually there are two. And their job was to follow behind the sheep. And if the sheep would go astray or the sheep would get hurt, and if they fall behind, the dogs would bark and their master, alert the master, and the shepherd would come and take care of the sheep. Amen? David is saying that goodness and mercy are like divine sheepdogs in our lives. Okay? They're always following behind us, keeping watch over us, and helping us when we have a need. We need goodness and mercy. We need goodness for our steps. We need mercy for our stumbles. God's goodness supplies me. God's mercy soothes me. God's goodness helps me. God's mercy heals me. God's goodness provides. God's mercy pardons. You know what one of my favorite verses is? I got a lot of them, I know. But one of my favorite verses is found in Lamentations chapter 3. I don't know any other verse in Lamentations. Don't ask me. I don't even know where that book is. It's somewhere in the Bible. But Lamentations 3:22 says this. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that his compassions are new every morning? I thank God. And then it says, great is thy faithfulness. It ends, that verse ends like that. Great is thy faithfulness. I thank God that his mercies are new every morning, because there is not a day that goes by that you and I do not need the mercy of God. We need it. We need it. Amen. Think about how a parent follows a little child around, picking up after them. When you got grandkids, you do it a lot. I don't do it a lot. Kathy does it a lot. Yes. But that's exactly what God does for us. He does. He's constantly picking up after our messes. We make mistakes. We blow it. We get things out of order. And there's God behind us all the time, picking us up, putting it back together, working it out, taking care of our messes. That's simply the mercy of God. That's what that is. That's the mercy of God. And I am so grateful that we're told that the goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of my life. Not just some of the days. All of the days. He doesn't turn goodness and mercy on and off. He's not good one day and bad the next day. He's not merciful one day and unmerciful another day. All the days of my life, I will have God's goodness and God's mercy. Amen? You know what other word I love? I love the word surely. Surely. Not maybe. Not possibly. But surely. And I can look back on my own life and thank God that his goodness and mercy followed me. If you are a child of God and the Lord is your shepherd and you are his sheep, listen, you don't face the future with a question mark. You face it with an exclamation point. That's how you face your future. Not with a question mark. With an exclamation point. God's goodness and God's mercy will follow you. You may not see it. You may not feel it. Might be hard-pressed to find it, but it's always there. It's always there. I read a piece from Dr. H.A. Ironside. Dr. Ironside wrote probably the best commentary on the book of Romans that I've ever read. Every time I teach the book of Romans, I use Dr. Ironside's commentary. He was a great preacher, used to be the pastor of Moody Church in Chicago. And he told a story, true story, of a poor little old lady who lived by herself. And somehow she convinced herself that she was being followed by two men everywhere she went. She actually developed a phobia about this. She tried psychiatrists. She tried counselors. She would call regularly the police department, but nobody could help her because nobody was following her. Well, finally, she went to her pastor about the problem. She said, "Pastor, I have a very serious problem." And Pastor Ironside said, "Well, what is it?" She said, "Everywhere I go, two men follow me. When I go to the grocery store, they follow me. When I get on the streetcar, they follow me. When I come home, they're right behind me. When I go into my bedroom, they're right there by my bed." He said, "Well, have you reported this to the police?" She said, "Yes." But they said there's nothing they can do because they're not there. "I can see them. Can you help me?" Well, the Holy Spirit of God instantly spoke to Pastor Ironside, put his arms around that dear lady, and he said, "You are one of the most blessed women I've ever met." She said, "I am? How do you figure that?" He said, "Do you know who those two men are?" She said, "No, do you?" He says, "Oh, yes. They're David's friends." And he turned to Psalms 23, and he read to her the words, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." And he said, "Sweet lady, those two men are goodness and mercy. And God sent them to follow you all the days of your life." She says, "Pastor, that's wonderful. And to think that all this time I was afraid of them." But from that day on, every time she went to get on the streetcar, she waited for goodness and mercy to get on. Every time she went to the store or get into her apartment, she waited for goodness and mercy to walk through. And that's how she lived the rest of her life that way. Always secure in the fact that goodness and mercy were following her all the days of her life. Well, guess what? They're not imaginary. They are real. Goodness and mercy will follow you. It's God's promise all the days of your life. All the days of your life. I've heard it said so many different ways. You know, two angels, two men. I don't care how you say it. I know that there's God's goodness and his mercy. If you are his child and he is your shepherd, remember the first verse? "Unless the Lord is my shepherd, none of this matters." He has to be my. My is an important word in this psalm. My shepherd. Number three. This is huge. God's glory. God's glory is waiting for me. There's a great word in this psalm, and it's a little connective word. It's the word "and." And. That little word connects our today's with our tomorrow's. It binds our present with our future. And this entire thought meant so much to David. So it was on his mind constantly. He wrote Psalms 27, verse 4, when he says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David had one goal in life, one goal, one major goal. He wanted to make it to heaven. And David was pumped after that and he says, he didn't say, "And I will die," or "And I will cease to exist," "And I will dissolve into nothingness." No, he says, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That was his "and." Now he's a shepherd. That really spoke to shepherds, because shepherds were always on the move. They lived in tents. As soon as the sheep cleaned off one spot that they brought them to feed in, they devoured the grass. They had to move on. The shepherd never got to settle down in one place for very long. But David said, one day I'm going to make my final move. I'm going to reach my final destination. And it's going to be in the house of the Lord. Wow. Now, this destination is not just a place. It's a person. It's also a person. You notice the psalm begins with the Lord, and it ends with the Lord. And Jesus said in John 14, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you." And that word mansions literally does mean dwelling places. If you are his sheep and the Lord is your shepherd, guess what? You are guaranteed a reserved first-class suite in his house. And praise God, guess what? There's no checkout time at noon. You don't have to worry about that. All right, you got it. Now, I don't know all the facts about the future. I don't. I don't know how I'm going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. I don't know where I'm going to die. But though I do not know all the facts about the future, I do know the finality of the future. I know the finality of the future. And that is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what I do know, okay? And it blesses me as I study this psalm that God saves the best for last. I mean, we've gone through five verses that are amazing. But he saves the best for last. He tells us in the very beginning of this psalm that we will never lack anything, right? I won't, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack for anything. When we're hungry, he leads us to green pastures. When we're thirsty, he leads us to still waters. When we're down, he'll pick us up. He'll lead us in the right way. And even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he protects me, it says, with his rod and his staff. And even when we are surrounded by our enemies, we will eat in a calmness and an assurance at his table, knowing that he is right beside me. He tells us our earthly life is going to be full of goodness and mercy, and it's wonderful to know him, to love him, to worship him, to serve him, to praise him here on earth. But David closes this psalm by telling us that if the Lord is your shepherd, the best is yet to be. You haven't seen anything yet until you've reached your final destination. Isn't that amazing how he does save the best for last? There's a story of a woman who had been diagnosed with a terminal illness. She had been given 3 months to live, and she was getting things in order. She contacted her pastor and had him come over to the house and discuss the funeral that she wanted done. She requested to be buried with her favorite Bible. And it seems as if they talked about everything. And the pastor was getting ready to leave the woman. And then suddenly she remembered something that was very important to her. And she said, "Pastor, there's one more thing." He said, "What's that?" She said, "Well, this is very important. I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." And the pastor looked at her for a moment like she had lost her mind. And he didn't know quite what to say. The woman said, "I know you think it's strange, but I, in all my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners," she said, "I always remember when the dishes were of the main course were being cleared, someone would always lean over and say, 'Keep the fork.'" And she said, "That was my favorite part because I knew something better was coming, like chocolate cake or banana cream pie or apple pie or something wonderful was coming. Something sweet was coming. Keep the fork." She said, "When people walk by my casket and see the fork in my hand and you get that look on their face that says, 'What's with the fork?' I want you to say to them, 'Keep the fork. The best is yet to come.'" Wow. And as the pastor's eyes welled up with tears of joy, he hugged the woman goodbye. And when that woman passed on, the pastor went to the funeral home and stood by the casket. Time after time, people would come by. They would see the pretty dress she had on. They'd see the Bible. And then they would see the fork in her right hand. And over, the pastor would hear the question, "What's with the fork?" Time after time, including the funeral message, he stood before the people and said, "This lady had the Lord as her shepherd. And because of that, the best is yet to come." So the next time you reach for your fork, if you know the Lord Jesus and you are his sheep and he is your shepherd, just remember what your final destination is and that the best is yet to come. Can you say amen? Amen? So what do you think I'm going to do? Something so crazy. I'm going to give everyone in this church a fork that has Psalms 23 on it. So, when we take, let the worship team, you better get up here quick. I've got baskets of forks. And I want everyone to have a remembrance of this incredible Psalm 23. After we receive the regular offering, I want the ushers to, while we're worshiping God, I want the ushers or somebody to come up and pass these around. And you're going to have a little remembrance of Psalm 23. And I pray that this psalm will never mean the same to you as it should, as it does now. And remember, we have a destination, a final destination. God saved the best for last. I'll tell you, I have been so blessed. You know what? Just study Psalms 23 by different authors. You will be so enriched. Your spirit will be so enriched. Amen? I have two trains of thoughts to start next week. I'm not sure which way I'm going to go yet. Waiting for further instruction. But I'm excited because it's God's word. And that's what we're supposed to do. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's my job. That's what God has called me to do. That's what I will do. Is share God's word with you so that we can grow together. And we can rejoice in knowing what our final destination is. I'm going to ask the ushers to come. We're going to receive our morning offering right now in Jesus' name. But it's going to be a part of our worship, Nancy. What are we? Even so. Oh, I love that song. Father, we thank you so much for this day. And as we receive our morning offering, God, a tithe and offering, we thank you. We thank you, God, for your people who are so faithful in their giving that we can pay the bills. And we can reach out even beyond these walls and let the gospel go forth, God, in missions and wherever, even in our own community. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be here for all these years, over 80 years, celebrating each and every week the glory of God, rejoicing in the presence of our Lord. Thank you, God, on this day of Pentecost, that your Holy Spirit came to fill us, God, to allow us to enable us, to give us power to be your witnesses. We count on that power, God. The same power that we just sang about that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. So God, we ask for your blessing. Bless now this offering as we give from our hearts to you, as we're obedient to your word. You said if we do this, you would open the windows of heaven and just pour us out blessings we won't even have room enough to receive. Thank you, God, for allowing us to receive your blessings. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen.